Let's go ahead and get in the Word. Would you please turn to Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6. We'll get there, read what we need to read here in just a few moments. Going to do something a little bit different here in just a few minutes. And I'm giving you a moment to find Luke chapter 6. Because when we do read, I definitely want you to be able to see what's being read. Sometimes it's okay just to, you know, for me to read it to you, to quote it, but I definitely want you to see this. So, is everybody at Luke chapter 6? Yes, Brother Martin, we're at Luke. Okay, very good. All right. In January of 1963, there was a singing group called the Chiffons, and they released a song entitled, "He's So Fine." Now, no, the song was not about me. But they released a song entitled, "He's So Fine." It reached number one on March 30th, and it stayed there for 4 weeks. At the end of the year, it was ranked the number five song for the entire year. And many of you have probably heard it. On November 23rd, 1970, George Harrison released a song entitled, "My Sweet Lord." And the song quickly shot to number one, not just here in the States, but around the world. It eventually became one of the biggest selling single records ever. Even though it wasn't speaking about Jesus. It was all about Hare Krishna and all this other. All right, now, what we're going to do is play two musical clips for you. Now, the first one you're going to hear, it will have a little bit of "My Sweet Lord." Then it will have a little bit of "He's So Fine." And it'll go back and forth between those two songs. I want you to listen very closely to these and notice the similarities. So go ahead and begin playing that. Okay, you can pause that. Now, I don't know how well you picked up on the similarities in the tune. Well, this next clip, same two songs, but this time they are going to be played simultaneously. Now, listen very closely to how this sounds and to the similarities. So go ahead and play the second clip. Now, for those of you watching, you missed it because there were people in here who were starting to boogie around with it. How many of you noticed the similarities between those two? Now, a few months after the release of My Sweet Lord, George Harrison was sued for copyright infringement by Brightunes, the publisher of He's So Fine. Now, during the trial, Harrison admitted that he was familiar with the song He's So Fine, but he testified that He's So Fine was not the inspiration for the song. In fact, he wasn't even thinking about that song. Instead, he said the inspiration for My Sweet Lord was a song by the Edwin Hawkins Singers titled Oh Happy Day. Well, this trial started in 1971, and it went on and on and on. On August 31st, 1976, Judge Richard Owen of the United States Southern District Court of Southern New York found George Harrison guilty of, now listen, subconscious plagiarism. I'm not making this up. Subconscious plagiarism. In his ruling, Judge Owen stated, quote, "Did Harrison deliberately use the music of He's So Fine? I do not believe he did so deliberately. Nevertheless, it is clear that My Sweet Lord is the very same song as He's So Fine with different words, and Harrison had access to He's So Fine. He knew this combination of sounds would work because it already had worked in a song his conscious mind did not remember. This is, under the law, infringement of copyright, and is no less so, even though subconsciously accomplished. Harrison was subsequently ordered to pay Brightunes $1,599,987 of the earnings from My Sweet Lord." Subconscious plagiarism. I had never heard of such a thing. But now, it's in the books. It is a legal judgment. It is a legal argument when it comes to plagiarism. Now, we hear that and we think, that's just plain weird. I mean, subconscious plagiarism, and the fact that George Harrison knew this combination of sounds would work because it already had worked in a song his conscious mind did not remember, and he's guilty of copyright infringement even though subconsciously accomplished? This makes no sense whatsoever. It's plain old goofy. But is it? What if I could prove to you from Scripture there is some kind of a precedent for this concept? You're in Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Whether you know it's there or not. The abundance of the heart. So in this particular case, the abundance of George Harrison's heart included the tune He's So Fine, and his subconscious mind, with that tune rolling around in it, inspired his conscious mind to write the tune for My Sweet Lord. Now, this speaks volumes to us. Because what the judge was saying is, whether you know it or not, there are things in your mind that you may not be recalling, but they are still there. What Jesus is saying is, there may be things that are the abundance of your heart that you are not consciously recalling until a given point in time. See that? So really, even though it sounds kind of strange, subconscious plagiarism, there is something of a foundation for it. Now, what does that mean? What it means is this. There's stuff in our heads and we don't even realize it's there. For example, every single one of you, you are a living jukebox. Seriously. You have all kinds of songs stuffed in your brain and you don't even remember them. But all it takes is something and all of a sudden, there it is. Oh, I hadn't thought of that song in years. Well, there it is. Where'd that come from? Well, somewhere along the line, it got shoved in your head. And there it is. It's alive in there. There was a, in fact, you can go online and you can dig all this information up. There's so much on the internet about this research. And basically, to give you summaries, scientists exploring memory loss in the elderly found that poor performance seen in the elderly relative to their memory was linked, at least at times, to faulty circuits in the most sophisticated parts of the brain. Now, memory, especially in the elderly, can be greatly impacted by malnutrition and dehydration. And it has been proven that if you can get the elderly to eat right, it doesn't matter if they're hungry or not, force them to eat right and force them to take in fluids, a lot of mental issues clear up, completely go away, including Alzheimer's symptoms. But this particular, these studies weren't about that. It was about the functioning of the brain. Using caps with electrodes, just imagine like a baseball cap without the bill, having electrodes. Using caps with electrodes to deliver mild currents in a non-invasive way, meaning they didn't drill into the person's head, they just placed the cap on, you know, over their hair and their scalp. They managed to reconnect these circuits in a group of 42 people aged between 60 and 76. Weak electric shocks applied to the brain, they found, can be used to reverse decades of age-related memory decline in older people, if only for a limited time. They discovered that by stimulating these regions of the brain with an electrical current, they could return mental abilities to the elderly they had not enjoyed since their 20s. Around a half an hour of brain stimulation improved the accuracy of the 42 older people, so their results resembled those of a group aged 20 to 29. In other words, you're remembering. In various tests conducted not just in one lab, but in various different labs, the results were repeated over and over again. I'm going to read three of them to you. A patient, when the electrodes were applied, responded, "I hear voices. It is late at night around the carnival somewhere, some sort of traveling circus. I just saw lots of big wagons that they use to haul animals in." In other words, he was remembering an event from his childhood when his parents had taken him to the circus. Another man remembered being with some childhood friends he had not thought about for years. He could recall what they were doing, what they were wearing, and could actually hear them talking and laughing. The entire event was stored in his subconscious. Another man recalled a childhood memory of standing by a curb in front of his house. He was eating an ice cream cone and could remember the flavor. He could describe the time of day pertaining to the brightness of the sun, could see cars parked, give detailed descriptions of them, even to the point of reading a license plate number. It's all stored. Now see, I said for years, I have maintained for years, every event of your life is recorded in your brain. It's there. Everything. You're driving down the highway and a car passes you. You're driving 70 and this car passes you at 90. You remember that car, its color, its style, its model, and even the license plate number when you looked over and saw it passing you by. That's stored in your brain. Everything, every moment, every event, every word, every song, every fragrance, every flavor, every single everything is stored in your mind. Some scientists are going to tell you, no, that's not true. Now, in the event of brain damage, that's true. That it wouldn't be. Or, you know, you take a lot of drugs and, you know, scorch your brain. All right, well, then obviously brain damage, no, it's not there. But all things being equal, as they say, it's all there. And through this electrical stimulation, they were able to help elderly people remember everything they thought they had forgotten. This is just absolutely amazing.
So, Brother Martin, this sounds pretty cool. So you're telling me if I take Grandma out to the car and get some jumper cables?
No. No, it doesn't work that way. Well, you'll get her worked up all right. You might get her engine started, but you're not going to get nothing else. Okay, now, if science has proven that the subconscious mind has retained everything, and that with the right set of circumstances, in this case, electrical stimulation, that which is in the subconscious can be brought forward to the conscious, what then does that say to us concerning the Word of God and sowing the Word? Think about this. Because if every secular event is recorded in our minds, what about every aspect of the Word of God which is alive? How much more so? Now, I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Because there are passages in Scripture where God... Okay, now that we're sensitive to this concept, we're going to read some verses where it kind of sounds like God is hinting at the reality of what I'm sharing here with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, look at pick it up in verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Why? That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Now I want to point something out to you. When this was written, the Jews basically had two ways of getting the word into them: what was verbally spoken and what they could read. And he says here, in verse 18, lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. This phrase, lay up, what it means is store it up on the inside. Store it up. Put it in. Store it up. Fill it up. Heart and soul, fill it up. Store it. Lay it up. And then he says, you know, bind them for a sign upon your hand, frontlets between your eyes. Teach them, now look here, teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And then he says, you know, write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon thy gates. But notice this verse 19. Speak of them when you sit in your house, walk by the way, lie down, rise up. Now, I don't know about you, but what I see here in this 19th verse is play the Word of God being spoken in an audio format. Are you seeing this? They couldn't do that back then. But if they could have, I have no doubt, but what God would have said something along the lines of, and play the Word so that thou hearest it with thine ears to lay it up within thine heart. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, therefore, when it comes to sitting in my house, I can have the Word of God being played. When it comes to walkest by the way, well, when I'm walking, I can have my earbuds in. Or when I'm driving my car, I can have it playing. And when you lie down and when you rise up, I can have it playing all night long while I'm sleeping. Are you seeing this? Now, if this weren't important, God would not have put it in here this way. Because he's saying in verse this passage, what we just read here, this isn't about go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and hear the word. No, this is the other 6 days of the week. This is the rest of your life, all the other times that's going on. That's when you're supposed to be doing this. Now, if that's the way it was for them, how much more so for us today? All right, let's look at some more passages. Look in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He says, meditate day and night. Okay? Another way to say that, for the sake of this teaching, sow it into your life day and night. Sow it in. And he says one of the results will be that you'll observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, this laying up, this constant feeding of the word into your being will result in you observing to do what God has said in his word. Meaning it becomes a byproduct of hearing. Because you've got it in you, and now you start reacting to what is in you. Remember, George Harrison, consciously, he's not thinking of he's so fine. But he's so fine was embedded on the inside of him. And then as he is strumming the chords, and he wrote the song in December of 69, he starts putting it down on paper. What he doesn't realize is that something on the inside of him is coming forth to his conscious mind, and he's responding to it without even thinking about it. And then ends up getting sued. Look over in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And take a look here at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've hidden it in my heart. I've hidden it. Okay, now think about this. George Harrison hid my he's so fine in his heart. You see this illustration? He says, thy word have I hid in my heart. In other words, think of it like this. I have hidden your word in my heart consciously. I'm not remembering every bit of it, but I've hidden it in my subconscious, and it is influencing my conscious. And I am responding accordingly. Look in verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, as we sit here, it's like, well, I don't remember every verse I've ever heard. No, but if it's in your subconscious, if it's hidden in there, then you're not forgetting it. It's a matter of not actively recalling it at this moment. But in a given set of circumstances, that which has been hidden in your heart is going to come forth. How many times has something happened and all of a sudden you're remembering a verse that would apply to that situation? That's because that verse was hidden in your heart and it's there. And now the given set of circumstances has caused you to recall it from subconscious to conscious. Look in verse 148, Psalm 119, verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Said a little bit differently, I'm not going to go to sleep until I have sown your word in my heart. Okay, think of it like this. I went all day long, haven't read one verse. Therefore, before I go to sleep, I am going to do something to get the word into me. I'm going to sow at least one verse. I'm going to sow something in me before I go to sleep. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In other words, and you keep reading, we're just taking excerpts of chapters here to show this to you. But he's saying, look, if you'll do this, if you'll hide my word within you, then that which is hidden in you can produce my knowledge, my wisdom, and my understanding. It'll be there. You can. It's not dormant because it's the Word of God and it's alive. So it's doing something on the inside of you. Look over in verses 10 and 11. He said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now see, one of the things that can be kind of misleading, and that is when we talk about studying the Word of God, a lot of Christians interpret that to mean, well, I got to memorize it. I have to just, anybody can memorize the Word. I mean, lost people can memorize the Bible. What God is trying to get at here is, okay, the Bible tells us that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, you know, which lives forever. Okay, the Word of God is living. It is alive. We are born again by that life. So therefore, our born-again spirit is 100% compatible with every word in the Bible. That life in written form is compatible with that life in me. So when I take that life in written form and I'm putting it in me, whether I'm reading it or I'm hearing it, then what's happening is the life coming in me, coming into me by the word, is working with, fellowshipping with, interacting with the life of my spirit. You understand this? And so therefore, something's happening. There's a work that's going on. I just don't see it or feel it because it's happening subconsciously. When I'm asleep, it's happening subconsciously. It's at work on the inside of me. Look in chapter 3 of Proverbs. Look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. This is about having it on the inside. It's not about your outward actions, but I keep it on the inside and it begins to produce outward actions. Look in verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Now again, there's so much more that we could read in these passages, but for the sake of time, we're keeping it simple. He repeatedly now is telling us, look, keep it in there, keep it in there, keep putting it in. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What did Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so where he says, keep your heart with all diligence, you say, well, how in the world do I keep my heart with all diligence? The more you're putting the word in, you're keeping your heart with all diligence. You're guarding your heart. You are preparing yourself for life. Every moment, every day, you're preparing yourself. Look in Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. When you see that phrase, lay up, and it's repeated throughout the Bible, but when you see that phrase, lay up, it's talking about put it in there. I mean, just, you know, build it up. Get it in there. Just like you fill your refrigerator with food when you know people are coming over for a party. Well, lay it up on the inside of you. Your word, his word in your heart. Lay it up. Look over in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus says, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. The primary place where the word is sown is in you. You sow it on the inside of you. Even though consciously you don't feel anything, you keep putting it in you and you do get results. Look over in verse 30. And he, Jesus, said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now I want you to think about what's happening. The sower soweth the word. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's been sown into me. I mean, every day. You know, if electrodes can cause me to remember things that I didn't realize that I had even done, if it can cause me to remember things from my childhood, all these events, then that means that stuff is in me. And he's saying, okay, now the sower sows the word. So until I sow the word is not in me. Until I eat the ice cream, the memory of eating that ice cream is not in my subconscious. Until I hear the song is not in my subconscious. I take the word and I sow it, and I sow it. And he says, okay, it's like a grain of mustard seed. When it's sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Okay? When I first begin sowing the word, here I am, born again. And my born again life is now compatible with every jot and tittle of Scripture. Until I begin sowing it, it's not in me. It's just not there. So I begin to take it and I begin to sow it. And at first, it's less than all the seeds of everything else that have been sown in my ground. Follow me? But he says, look, when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, shoots out great branches, the fowls of the air will lodge under the shadow of it. In other words, this seed begins to grow. And as it begins to grow, it becomes bigger than everything else that was sown. In other words, it begins to dominate everything else that's in the garden. And so when he says the sower sows the word, and he says the kingdom of God is like this, I take the word, I begin to sow it. I keep sowing, I keep sowing, I keep sowing, and the word begins to grow on the inside of me. My storehouse becomes more and more filled to the point the word of God begins dominating everything else that's going on in my life, everything else that is sown. Tomorrow, things are going to be sown in your life. For example, let's say that, you know, you wake up tomorrow and, oh no, the hot water heater is not working. Okay, who likes a cold shower? Well, some of the heat we've had. What am I going to do? Okay, what's happened? Calamity has been sown into your life. However, if the word of God has been sown, laid up, treasured up, etc., and so forth, It's going to be bigger than the calamity of a broken water heater. And you will have no worry at all. Oh, you're not going to like it. You're not going to be happy about it. But the power of God's Word on the inside is going to dominate that seed which has been sown. Now look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Here in John chapter 6, look at verse 63. Jesus says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." All right? That means all this other stuff that happens, everything else that is sown, it is not life. But the Word of God is spirit and it is living. It is life. And it joins with the life of your born-again spirit. So therefore, the more that I sow the Word in me is the more that I'm sowing the life of God. All this other stuff, it's pointless. Okay? The songs that have been stored up, you know, the "My Sweet Lord" and "He's So Fine" and every other song that I've ever heard, that's not life. You understand what I mean by that? The Word of God is greater than all of this. So therefore, what I'm doing is I'm sowing life that eventually will dominate that which is not life. Look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, look what Jesus says in verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The more that we sow the Word is the more the Word is abiding in us, even if consciously we're not recalling every chapter and verse. You see this? Because right now you don't remember all the songs you've ever heard. But there are some songs, if you're in a restaurant and a song starts playing, after the first five or six notes, immediately you know the song and you start singing. You start boogieing. Like the song we played here, you know, "He's So Fine." Well, some of you hadn't heard that song in years. It starts playing, all of a sudden, you remember it, you're singing along. In fact, you're even doing the boogie-woogie. I saw you, you didn't think I was looking at you. See this? You take the Word and you begin to put it in you more and more and more. And He says, when this happens, and the more that it happens, then you will start asking out of that storehouse. You will start asking, whatever you ask is going to line up with that Word that is growing and dominating everything else. This is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians, when they pray, okay, "Oh Father, if it be thy will, heal Uncle Joe." Okay, the Word of God is not dominating you. The Word of God is not built up on the inside of you relative to healing. Because if it were, you wouldn't be saying, "Oh God, if it be thy will." You'd be saying something like, "Father, in the name of Jesus, Uncle Joe is healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. He is your child, and you sent your Word and you healed him and delivered him from all..." Do you follow what I'm saying here? That would be what's coming out. And so therefore, He tells you right here, if you abide in me, okay, well, I'm born again, yeah, I'm abiding in you. And He says, if my words abide in you. If they abide in you. Just because you're born again doesn't mean His words are abiding. And I'm going to go so far to say this, just Sunday and Wednesday ain't going to cut it. I mean, I know, listen guys, I know I give a whole lot more scripture than probably most preachers in the world. But that's still not going to cut it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Remember what He said there in Joshua, what we read there in Deuteronomy. He's talking about beyond the Sabbath day, every day of the week. Every day of the week. And like when He talks about, you know, speak it to your children, well, you can't speak what you don't know. So therefore, this has to be a lifestyle for us. Turn over to Genesis 41. As I was, thinking about all of this, and meditating on it and praying and so on and so forth. Man, the Lord brought this passage to me as an example. And so I'm going to pass it on to you. Now what's happened is, Pharaoh has had a dream. He doesn't understand it. So Joseph is giving him the interpretation. Now look here in Genesis 41, beginning in verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there comes 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. The fifth part of all the crops is what he's talking about. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. This is a perfect illustration of what the Lord is trying to get across to us tonight. Perfect. He says, you take this food for 7 years, put it in the storehouse, lay it up for 7 years. Just, if you have to build extra barns, build extra barns. But for 7 years, you take a fifth part of this and you store it up, because a famine is coming. And when that famine comes, all that food is going to be laid up, ready for distribution. Now see, all these people in Egypt, this fifth part of the food is being taken, you know, basically a tax, and it's being stored up. It's being laid up. 5 years, or 7 years go by. Stored up and laid up. And a lot of people probably forgot about it. They're not thinking about all these storehouses of food. In fact, maybe some people were thinking, I don't get it, man. Here we are 5 years into this. Pharaoh keeps taking 20% of all of our food, laying it up in these storehouses. You know, what's the deal? You know, they said a famine's coming, but I'm sorry, I don't see it. Year 6, I'm sorry, I don't see it. Year 7, I'm sorry, I don't see it. Year 8, famine starts. So in other words, I don't understand why it's so important to keep storing up the food in the storehouse. Why it's so important to lay it up. Because God knew a famine was coming. And God knew you're going to need what you've got laid up when the attack comes. It's the same thing for us. Everything's going okay in life. You know, we're not going through some super battles or whatever. I don't know why I got to sow the word. Don't know why I got to sow the word. I don't know why this is so important. I don't know why. Well, because as we continue to fill the storehouse of our subconscious mind, then what it's going to do is prepare us for what is coming. And in the process, it will alter the way we think. It will alter the way we perceive situations and the way we respond to circumstances. You ever been around Christians, something happens, and they just get all, you know, flustered, and I just don't know what to do. I just don't know which way to turn. I just don't know what. You ever seen that? Yeah, you have. It might have been you. What they're telling you is, I have an empty storehouse. Because see, if that storehouse is full, half full, you're not going to get all worked up like that. It's not going to happen. God's word is life, and life is a preservative. And when you have it laid up on the inside, look, every one of us in here, every single one of us, we know a challenge is coming sooner or later. We don't know what it is. Maybe a big one, maybe not a big one, but it's coming. We know that's life in this fallen world. I begin to store up the word. I begin to lay up the word. And it's going to change how I perceive everything in life. It will change how I react, how I respond. And then part of the results will also be a changed lifestyle and a changed speech. I will begin talking out of my storehouse without even thinking about it. Because the storehouse of the Word of God is going to impact what I'm saying, and I'm not going to have to consciously try to think of the right things to say. It doesn't mean I'm going to go around quoting Scripture all the time. What it means is that storehouse of God's Word is impacting how I communicate with others. And I'm not going to be talking about all my sickness and my pain and my this and my problems and my money and lack of it and blah, blah, etc. and so forth. I won't be talking that way. What I'll be doing is I will be talking in line with the Word of God. Because see, that's what Jesus did. He spoke in line with God's Word and God's will. And the same thing is true for us. Okay, now I'm going to throw this out. Do you remember what I shared with you? We read there, you know, back over in Deuteronomy. And how he said, you know, read the Word, speak the Word. You know, when you're walking and when you're in your house and, you know, when you go to bed, when you wake up and all this other kind of stuff, you know, just, and I remember I shared how that back then they didn't have the Bible recorded. But if they had, God would have said, take advantage of this. Okay, here's a challenge. You think about it and consider it. For the next 30 days, when you're driving, don't listen to music. Do not listen to music. Do not listen to Rush Limbaugh. Oh, Brother Martin, you're going too far now. Do not listen to anything but the Word of God being read. Well, where do I start? I don't care. Anywhere. This is not about Bible study. This is about sowing the Word and laying it up in the treasure house. So you just listen. Start in Genesis if you want. Start with Proverbs. In fact, for the next 30 days, just listen to Proverbs over and over again if you want. Listen to Proverbs and the New Testament. It doesn't matter. But for the next 30 days, don't be listening to any music. None. Absolutely none. Just let the Word of God play. And when it comes time, you know, you pull up in the parking spot, just pause. And when you come back and get in your car, play. Just pick. I don't care if it's in mid-verse. Mid-sentence. Doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're sowing. When you're at home, consider the same thing. Instead of having music playing in the house, I mean, some people do, have the Word of God playing. Just have Scripture playing. See, you can download the audio versions of the Bible for free in MP3 format and put it on a CD. Yeah, on your phone. Put it on your phone. You can get it for free. And then along with that, some cars have a USB port in the dash or whatever, and you can take a thumb drive and you can put the Bible on the thumb drive and plug it into the USB port in your car and play it through your stereo. Now, not all cars and what all are equipped with that, but it's an option. The point I'm making is this. Consider sowing the Word into your life like never before. When you're at home and you're doing book work or whatever the case would be, just have it playing softly in the background. It doesn't have to be loud and dominating because your subconscious is picking it up. Just like all those memories that the electrical probes stimulated. Like this guy, he's standing on a street corner when he's a child eating the ice cream cone and he's looking around. Do you think he was consciously thinking about the license plate number on the car? No. But when that electrical stimulation caused that memory to come out of the subconscious to the conscious, he's remembering details he wasn't even paying attention to as a child. Reading a license plate number. Seriously? Yeah, it's there. Because it had been sown into the subconscious of his mind. Okay, now we take the Word of God and we begin to do this. And we begin to listen. And we begin to listen. See, I used to do this back when Kathy and I first got married. The job, when I was on staff at a particular church, I could listen to the Bible. Now, I would listen to a teaching, back then it was cassette tapes, and I would listen to sermons as well, but I listened to the Bible. And I would have it, I had one of those cassette decks that had two cassette, you know, you could play two tapes in it, and one would play, and then the other one would play. And I'd just be sitting there, and it'd be playing in the background. And I'm telling you right now, I truly believe that's one of the reasons why I am where I am in God today. It's because I had the Word of God going constantly. In my car, same thing. I had that cassette tape right there in the car, and I'd be playing the Word of God. and I'd be listening to it. Not sometimes consciously listening to it, and other times it's just playing and I really wasn't paying attention, but my mind was paying attention. My mind was picking it up. Just imagine if you could do that, you know, all night long. Just have the Bible play. Just all night long while you're asleep, just softly in the background so it doesn't disturb you. But all night long, the word is being sown into your... You say, well, how do you know that I'm hearing it? You're hearing it. Your hearing doesn't go to sleep. The rest of you does. But your hearing doesn't go to sleep. And you keep sowing the word. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. When you do this, like when the driving time, or you'll be at work, and where you work, they let you play stuff. And so you're listening to the Bible, and you're doing, I'm telling you what's going to happen. All of a sudden, a verse is going to jump out to you. It's like the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, listen to this. And you're going to sit back, and suddenly your attention is going to be caught up in one verse. And you're going to hear it and understand it at a level you never did before. You'll be listening to this, driving along, and then all of a sudden, something captures your attention, and you start listening, and it's like, oh my goodness, I never thought of it like that. I didn't realize that passage was... I didn't know that was in the Bible. These things are going to start coming alive to you like never before. It will change your life. And think about how easy this is. All you're doing is listening. That's it. Now, if you really want to take it, you know, a step further, then when you can, while it's playing, read along. But if you want to supercharge it, record it yourself. And as you're listening to your own voice. You're more familiar with your own voice than anybody else's. I know I talk a lot, but you're more familiar with your own voice, and your, call it your inner being, your subconscious, responds more to your voice than any other's. Now, I know that that's one of those, seriously, I got to record it? And no, you don't have to. But think about this. If you're recording it, aren't you not going to be paying a whole lot of attention to what you're reading? And then you're playing it back to yourself. Now, guys, look, I'm not trying to put pressure. I got to go out and figure out a record. But no, I'm not saying that. I'm throwing these things out, and you may never record it. But what you can do is listen to it and keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing. Now, please don't leave here tonight and think, boy, I tell you what, he just makes us do everything around here. No, this is not an order. This is an enlightenment. I'm sharing with you something you can do to sow the word in a way that is very intense and very focused, and it doesn't require you to like sit down and just focus hard on the word of God. No, you just sow it. Just listen to it. Just let it just be fed into you constantly. Think about this. Think about doing this. You say, well, I don't have it recorded. I mean, I don't have a recording of it. That's okay. You can work on that the next several days or whatever. But again, if you don't do this, don't think, you know, that I'm going to come up to you and say, okay, what chapter are you listening to? No. No. I'm sharing all this to let you know. Your subconscious mind is a storehouse. And it's hidden. You don't realize what's going on in there. But the more of the Word of God that is put in there, is the more our lives are going to change. So I'm encouraging you, think about this, consider it, and if you do choose to approach it this way, I guarantee you, your life will change. It will absolutely change. Praise God.